Well, good evening, brothers. It's 7 o'clock. I'm Mike Clevenger. And welcome you. Welcome you to the call this evening. Also welcome those who might be listening later. We've been, we've had a great number of guys who can't be with us live and have downloaded the call off the website. So this call is being recorded, and excuse me, we welcome you all. If this is your first time calling in, we'll talk about how you operate and get into our question and answer period later on. Very simple. You just, once I announce that we're going to open the call for questions, comments, and your insights on our topic tonight, you just hit star 6 on your phone. It pops up into the console, and I'll acknowledge you. So I'll remind you about that a little later. Well, we've got a lot to cover tonight, so I want to get right into it. Tonight's call is one of great importance to the Masons Lead Better program. It is through the establishment and continued operation of a master builder group, which is the topic tonight, that we as Masons receive our brotherly support from others trying to improve themselves. And we together as a group and a master builder group can continue that journey to improve ourselves and improve thus our lives, our lodges, our communities, and of course, hopefully Masonry in Ohio and everywhere. So the call tonight, excuse me, the call tonight is directed at those who have been asked to lead these master group master groups around the state of Ohio. First, let me be honest with you. You know, in an hour, we just can't cover everything that you're going to need to know to conduct one of these groups. But tonight, we hope to, you know, touch the essential areas that will get your group off to a good start. And then through some additional resources that are being developed right now, and I'll mention those later, we're going to provide you with some helpful tools to keep your group going. Before I get too far into the material, I'd like to welcome Brother Eric Combs. Eric's from the 3rd District. He's a member of the Grand Lodge Education Committee, and he's the coordinator of the Master Builder Group in his district. And Eric and I met recently, and I asked Eric if he'd join the call tonight. So, Eric, thanks for being here, and thanks for helping me out tonight. How's
thanks,
it going?
Oh, it's doing great. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. And Eric's up in Michigan. He's working. You know, Eric is an educator. I just said his teachers how to teach. He and I will be collaborating as part of the Masons Lead Better program on a training class that will specifically help those who desire to facilitate a master builder group to provide you with some further thoughts, education, and resources to make these successful. And we'll have the details for that as soon as we can. So with that, let me go through some basics. And then Eric will, after I run through a few basic things, Eric will provide you with some of his actual experiences of his Master Builder Group. Some thoughts he has, some suggestions, and then we're going to open it up for a general dialogue and question and answer period so we can answer some of the specific questions those on the call may have had from starting your Master Builder Group or trying to get it started. So let me go through a couple of things here. The first thing I would like to do is remind you of the philosophy and purpose of the Masons Lead Better program. What were the underlying goals of this program? And simply, they were this. The program has one of its core tenets, if you want to use that word, has as the base the premise that before we can lead others, we first must lead ourselves. We must be able to have control of ourselves. So to improve masonry and our lodges, the base of everything we do first must start with this personal improvement, an assessment of who you are, an assessment of your leadership abilities, and then developing a program that builds you up not only as an individual, as a Mason, but also as a leader. The second thing is that the tools and lessons of Masonry provide us this excellent system to use as a process of self-development. We are taught that we take ourselves as a rough ashlar, and through education, interaction with other informed brethren, we improve ourselves. And as you think about the ritual, we are taught to be a lover of education, and specifically mentioned in the degrees about the arts and sciences and other intellectual pursuits. And so Masons Lead Better grabs onto that, and so by studying and practically applying our thoughts about those tools and lessons in Masonry, that helps us become better Masons. And so by Masons Lead Better's premise then is by combining these two processes, a self-improvement program and a individual study and group study of the tools and lessons of Masonry, we ultimately will become stronger leaders for our family, be higher performers in our jobs, we will be those citizens in our community who are leaders, and naturally, that it flows that our lodges will be stronger. So the purpose of the Master Builder Group is to support this process of self-learning and the material presented in the Masons Lead Better workshops. I believe I said when I covered this in the workshops is that these Master Builder Groups are not intended to be a social meeting. They're not intended to be a business meeting, but to a large extent, not even the exchange of ideas to improve our lodge. Although that last thing may occur, because we've built a framework for these Master Builder Groups out of mastermind groups, naturally some of those topics will come up, but it shouldn't be the main focus of the meeting. The Master Builder Group is there to foster individual improvement and support each other so you're not alone while you're doing it. Think about some of the common things people do, like you start exercising. Well, it's a lot easier if you're not doing it alone. You're not in the basement riding a stationary bicycle. You're walking with a friend. You're running with a friend. You're in a group doing aerobics, whatever the exercise is. That's the purpose of the group, to support and encourage each other. And so like that, the Master Builder Groups are that type of support system for us improving ourselves. You know, in the workshops, there was a section we talked about our dream for masonry and our lodges. And during, we did workshops in 25 districts. Excuse me. And one of the topics and visions and dreams for Masonry was that there would be greater fraternal interaction, greater support of our brothers. And this Master Builder Group is a framework for that. And you can accomplish that by properly running the Master Builder Group. Well, in the workbook, there is 2 pages devoted to a Master Builder Group, and I'll refresh your memory real quickly here. Excuse me, I hate to keep coughing, but something's tickling my throat tonight. On those pages in that work and during the workshop, this is not a new concept. Our brother Benjamin Franklin in 1727 created his own group for mutual improvement, and it was a number of terms referred to it, but it was called the Leather Apron Club by some, and its purpose was to debate questions of moral politics and natural philosophy. And so it was a gathering of, and there was he had a set of questions that he asked every week, and it was all about successes, failures, and support. So this is not a new concept by any means. But in the, if you've not read that, I suggest to begin, you thoroughly read that, because in there are the benefits, the overview of a purpose, and some of the basic rules of operation. And I will tell you that this is not something we just made up here. I'm a member of founding partner of Dr. John Maxwell's International Coaching Group. And this is the framework we use in our mastermind groups for that purpose. And the format, especially some of the rules relating to operating a mastermind group, have been tested and have been successful over a number of years. So some of the benefits that are listed there: mutual support, gaining different perspectives on various topics of improvement, suggestions from your brothers if you're stuck on a particular problem in your process, having the access to resources that maybe you might not have by yourself. And certainly the big thing is accountability. If we're all left to our individual being alone, as I used the example of riding the bicycle in the basement, it's easy to blow it off. But if you got a group of guys who are counting on you to show up and share and report, little incentive there. We've also... have a 2-page guide here that I won't go to right now. Will help the facilitator run his first meeting. So we built some resources. That's what the master group is about. And if you don't have, I know there are some maybe on the call, and I've gotten requests that there are brothers who want to join the Master Builder groups that don't have a workbook. My preference is that brother have been through the workshop, the Masons Lead Better workshop. But if they are motivated to join and your Master Builder group is operating as intended in the workbook, then I've provided workbooks. So if you need a workbook for a member of your Master Builder group who couldn't get to the workshop, I will provide that for you. I will say that we're going to run this Masons Lead Better workshop again next year, so I would encourage those guys to get into one of those workshops. Okay, with that framework, now that we know the intent of a master builder group. I thought it would be well now to bring in Eric and relate some of his experiences from his master builder group. And Eric, if you will, you know, be honest about some of the difficulties that you have encountered, because I know there's going to be difficulties. As you know, Eric, we started out not knowing how this is going to react, and we built it around districts. Well, that's a pretty wide area in some cases. So I know you've ran into some of that. So, Eric, why don't you take off and give us some thoughts about the master builder group.
Sure. Well, hi, guys. I'm Eric, brothers. In my own professional life, what I do is I develop professional development for teachers, one, to help them improve what they do in the classroom, plus help them also regain their licensure. So I've developed courses, and I have trainers that go out and do the training for me, and I go out and assist with that. So kind of from that perspective, when I was brought in with the third district, that's kind of where it was. I got a phone call, and the grandmaster called, and he said, "Hey, would you like to?" And I wasn't about to say no, so I said, "Yeah, sure, you know."
The grandmaster.
I'm retired military, so I have a tough time with that whole hierarchy thing. But I also, I guess, and so brethren, don't be offended. I don't have a filter. I don't have time to have a filter. I don't have time to be politically correct sometimes. And PC sometimes, I think, holds back even the best of organizations, even Masonry. So some of the things I may say, you'd be like, well, wait a minute now. It's okay. And I definitely want to hear feedback from everyone. But I guess the first idea I wanted to talk about is, you know, how do we create capacity? If you really, truly want to be something that, I joined Masonry because really for two major reasons. One, I wanted to know more. I wanted to study. I wanted to research. I wanted to know about the history. I wanted to know about the richness of the lessons that are brought forth to us. The second, and this will be the first point for all offense and people, is I'm retired military, and my particular career field at the time did not have women in it. And that's why I joined, because I've some public education, and it's filled with ladies, and God love them, they're wonderful people. However, it's man time for me. So that's the other reason why I joined it, just to be with guys, just, you know, to kind of hang out with the guys that had the same kind of issues, had the same type of backgrounds, and essentially the same moral character, and kind of move from there. And that's what I had missed from the military. The Masons have, in some capacity, have kind of filled in that gap. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. To go back to the question of how do we build capacity, if we truly want to be a fraternity that helps us learn, then that should be the focus of it. And not necessarily, and I've had talks with Brother Mike about this, is, you know, going to a meeting for the sake of listening to menu items from the last meeting, or going to and voting on and ad infinitum issues that go back and forth. And business. Now, granted, the business part is important, but it should be a minuscule part of a lodge meeting. And after a while, I've been in lodge meetings where I'm, you know, my eyes are rolling in the back of my head. I'm trying to stay awake. And to me, that doesn't engage the mind, and it doesn't engage, more importantly, the soul. So I was really attracted to the Masons League better. So I said yes. I love to do it, and then it kind of reality slapped me in the face, I guess. I come from Tippecanoe 174. That's my lodge. We're a very, very active lodge. They run a lot of things. In fact, they run a lot of the appendant bodies within the 3rd District. So when I started this the first couple times, it was easy to get a lot of membership to come in. And this is where I started learning some of the issues. One, Masons are busy. And they're the busiest people on the planet, especially if you're involved in council and chapter and Scottish Rite and the Shriners, everything. And so the last thing we wanted was to have this something to pile onto someone else, and they feel obligated to come. As soon as you feel obligated to come, we're going to have problems. It's not an obligation to come. It needs to be a desire. That's the first thing. So how do you create desire within an organization? Well, it's just like your meetings. How do you have a lodge meeting that people want to come to? Some people are turning to it. And my lodge also has done it. It's gone back to the Observant Lodge, which it's more focused on the ritual as one part, and then the moral character as the second part, versus all the business side of things. And I was once told, right before I became went to the East in my own lodge, I was told by a past master that, you know, he said, Eric, you know, business, the business side, while it's the small part, it's the biggest part of, and he kind of focused everything along those lines. And I got so busy doing those things that I never got to hear the things that I wanted to hear. You know, what's the importance of when we go to that altar? What's the importance of when we take our obligations? What's the importance of, you know, we always say the candidate's more important, but really, what do we serve when we're open and lodge? So it didn't really speak to my heart in terms of how this goes. So a couple of things as less and less people started showing up, I came up with some ideas. One was, you know, break bread with them. While it and Brother Mike, you know, he, it's not a meal, but it's not a bad idea to start with a meal. And it's to me, once I started doing that, it was kind of, again, we got to come together. The second thing is we improved the fraternity one Mason at a time. But many Masons are working in their own improvement, and there are different junctures, and we have to recognize that. So sometimes when you open it up and you have a time constraint, you want to be mindful. You're a facilitator. Your time constraint sometimes can stretch, and your time constraint can sometimes constrain. So you have to be careful as a facilitator not to leave too many people behind, but at the same time not to go too far ahead. And you'll find that in any type of organization, some people have led and they have these experiences that they share. At the same token, you don't want them to drown out those who are still seeking for those particular nuggets of information. I have what's called a salon style. Back during, prior to the French Revolution, there was a thing called the salon, and this is where men would get together and discuss politics, and they would discuss Voltaire, and they would discuss reasonings, and they would discuss art. They would discuss all our sorts of things. And there's some evidence in our history that Masonry was a much discussed subject as well during those times. So it's more of a round table versus I'm teaching a lesson and we go from there. So it's also important to the same thing with, you know, every Mason is someplace else in their learning, in their experience. They each needs a chance to express themselves, and then also feel free to ask the questions. And as an educator, I mean, I've even seen teachers that have a tough time asking the question. They're just trying to take in information and yet not expressing themselves. So you need a common dialogue and a common way of setting out the ways that you're, you know, how you're going to run your meeting, basically, without running it, so to speak. So remember, tolerance and understanding are very, very important for a facilitator. That, you know, the guy that asks the question, they're like, you got to be kidding me. You should know this by now. You're an adult.
Yeah.
And don't assume that. Never assume that. You know, you should never assume that with kids. You know, I know in our particular state in Ohio, you know, all the kids are supposed to read by third grade. Well, that's assuming that, you know, all kids go home and their parents read with them. That's not happening. So how do you make up, you know, so the idea is not to sit around and make excuses for it. It's what are the strategies we can use to say, okay, since that's not happening, how can we fill in those particular gaps? Well, the same question goes for us. It's, you know, ask your group, what type of leaders are there? Are there moral leaders? And you know, both in the politics today and and social media, I think there's a valid question saying, I'm not sure. I think there's a paucity of moral leaders, you know, throughout our country currently. There's organizational leaders, those who are experienced in terms of aligning things up and doing things like logistics and communications and things along those particular lines. I'm trying to find my notes here. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. That's
yeah.
All right.
I had that down pat too. And then there's just experienced leaders, people who have gone there, done that. They're more practical in their application. That's an example of our past masters. You know, some district deputy, you know, grandmasters. Those resources that we can go to, and that we want to link in to make sure that they're also encouraged to attend and also encouraged to share their experiences. And you know who those are in your lodge. You've seen those. These are the people that, you know, almost get legendary status, basically, you know, because they've gone and they've maybe memorized every part of the code book, or they're really the resource in terms of, you know, they've been a secretary for 10 years and they know what's going on, and they've seen the tendencies and the trends and how that affects our particular fraternity. So between the moral leader, the practical leader, and the organizational leader, we need to draw upon all those particular experiences when we have our meetings. And that ties directly into, you know, following the lessons, because Brother Clevenger's lessons are great, well written out. But here's one token. Like, for example, the first time I met, I tried to keep it to an hour. So this is an example of, you know, don't let the time constraint, you know, lock you down. And I was trying to, you know, stay honest with it and stay say, no, guys, it's only an hour. I don't want to take much of your time. And I actually ended up cutting it off. And I learned from that, you know, later on, that I probably shouldn't have done it that night, that sometimes it might run out, you know, it might run over. Some days it may run short. That's okay. You don't have to worry about that, because there's nothing to drive the train in terms of responsibility. This is not your inspection. This is not your, you know, you don't have to cross the I's and or dot the I's and cross the T's. What you have to do is get to the hearts of each guy and give them an opportunity to share with you. And
yeah,
that's
and
where
I,
we start taking it. Yeah.
Not to interrupt there, but
sure, well, please do.
What you're saying there is, you know, each group will, it'll develop its own personality. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So that you know if the guy, you'll know if the guys need to get up, but you'll let them talk if they feel like they want to talk. And if it goes an hour and a half, if it goes 2 hours, that's okay.
Absolutely. And that, again, not everyone's going to follow in terms of how do I put this? Not everyone's meant to be a leader.
That's true.
Everyone should lead themselves. And I think that's the key part of this whole process is that we learn to improve ourselves, and that's leading yourself. But not necessarily everyone's going to be a leader, or not everyone's going to follow a particular leader for whatever reasons. So even the best leader has, you know, people who are, you know, going to be detracting from what they want to do. So respect has to be a linchpin as a facilitator. You got to make sure that, well, we can all absolutely disagree. In fact, we should be. We still have that right in our country now that we can disagree with things, that it has to be done in such a tone that it's respectful. And what I'm talking specifically to is I have a lot of young people coming in, younger Masons coming in, and there's a few veteran Masons that come in, and they're kind of set. There's a little bit of set in their ways. Now, the cool thing is I've seen some of them cross bridges, you know, and what I mean is you see a young Mason go back and learn from a Master Mason. Like, they go back and learn from how you do a portion of a lecture or the meaning of a particular lecture. That's a wonderful bridge. Or at the same time is, you know, a veteran Mason that's been around for quite some time suddenly becomes tech savvy, for example, and it improves communication between the old and the new, for lack of a better term. And to me, creating those particular bridges will help your group, because you should. And it's kind of like it's part of that military adage: we shouldn't be leaving anyone behind. If they're a Mason, good and true, and they really want to improve themselves, which is what you want to do as a Mason, then we definitely don't want to be leaving anyone behind. So those are some of the considerations I was thinking. Those are some of the ideas that I was sharing with Brother Mike. Along with that, I guess we had talked about...
Can you hear me out a little bit?
Yeah.
Are you moving around or something?
No, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
I don't know if everyone else is hearing this, but it's cutting me a lot.
Hold on. Yeah. I'm getting...
Yeah, now it's good. Now it's
okay.
Good.
Yeah, I won't move.
No,
so
I don't know what's causing it.
Go ahead and jump in. I think that's my headset. So go ahead and jump in for there. I mean, the other part I wanted to talk about maybe or mention was, well, how do we create the capacity now? One idea is we had talked about the DEOs, you know, but this would also involve who selects the DEOs. I know there's a past background in terms of how a DEO is selected. And to me, if you already have people in place that are supposed to be district education officers, this should be a huge part of the responsibility in terms of help facilitating. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to be the ones presented, but maybe they're the ones going out, seeking out, and finding out the facilitators and the trainers for it. I think they should all be trained in it. But then again, who am I to dictate to them, you know, their time, their efforts, and that kind of thing. But my idea is, you know, our structure so far already has that in place. Why not use it? I think also...
Hey, Eric, that whole last that you made, I didn't get that at all, so...
Hold on. I'm going to switch out to – hold on 1 second, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Oh, hello.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, how's this?
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Okay. Yes, it's
you were just making the point here that that even if you're the district education officer or a lot of times to begin with there were other men being the Masons Leadbetter program and setting it up. Some of the education committee guys were assigned to be facilitators of the Master Builder Group. Your point was, hey, just because you're named that, you need to go out and maybe there's somebody that has experience. It's fine to do it. Don't be afraid to seek those guys out and use them, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we should be using our own experiences and our own leaders within our lodges and within our own regions, basically. You can tie your, you can tie your own hands by, there might be someone that's great about organizational, but they're not that great at facilitating. That's not a strength that they have. So that's the other part of building in that capacity is finding a few people within each area or region, however you want to define it, that would help the DEOs in terms of going out and doing it if it's not something that the DEOs can do. So,
yeah, a big part of that cut out, so I'm sorry.
Man, I don't know. I switched headphones too, so I'm kind of stuck, I think. Sorry.
Well, you know what you could do that is get off Skype and then call back in on Skype again. Maybe it's just that.
Sure. If you want to go ahead and take up, let me try that real quick, okay?
Yeah, hear what you have to say.
Okay. One second.
I'll pick up on that. Some of Eric's notes was one of the key things is that this should be, it shouldn't be viewed as an obligation. There are men who some as great as 50 in the district at the workshops. And this should be viewed as something that they want to do. You're not going to be able to you shouldn't really be spending time on, really doesn't want to be a part of and it's the left for improve. What you should concentrate on is everyone who really to this, engage them and put all your effort into them. You back, Eric? Eric, you there? We're not hearing Eric. Anyway, I think that's a key point here that
Hey, Mike, I'm back on. Just had to reach my phone.
Are you back on now?
Yeah, I had to switch the phone. For some reason, the laptop's not liking it, I guess. Another example of how technology is not necessarily our friend.
Yeah, gotcha. I was, Eric, while you were calling back in, I was telling everyone that besides the point you made, that I was keeping for this. And so I was relating to the guys that, you're not going to be able to save everybody, and in some cases you don't want to spend your time trying to convince somebody to concentrate on those who want to and support them. I know that's kind of a harsh way to look at it, but sometimes you have to do that.
Hey, Mike, I'm not sure you might want to ask everyone else, but that was I only got a little bit of that on your side, and there's a beep coming through, so now it's letting me think that maybe it's somewhere else in terms of the system.
I'm sorry, Eric. Say again.
That's what I was trying to tell you. Is that I'm not being able to hear you. It keeps interrupting with this beep sound. And I wonder if anyone else is hearing that.
Well, let me unmute everybody.
Yeah, Mike, you're the problem, pal.
Yes.
Who's got the? Hey, David, I heard you. What's the problem?
You are the problem. It's you. It's when you're talking, is that big sound comes out when nobody can hear a thing.
That's
when
you're
talking.
Right?
When you are talking. Yes.
Is it okay now?
No, it's still screwed up.
In previous recordings, the same thing was happening. When you could talk, we couldn't hear you through the distortion.
Is that why didn't somebody tell me before?
Well, now you know. Now you know that you're screwed up and you got to fix it. So fix it.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to, Eric, you on there?
Yes.
Why don't you continue? I'm gonna log myself out and get back in, okay?
Okay.
Why don't you just stay out?
David, I love you, but come on. I'll be back with you guys. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay. Well, I guess technology was my next point. I was going to say, you know, it needs to be our friend, but I encourage Facebook, and you need to have a backup plan. So thanks, David, for mentioning that to him. I was wondering, it was driving me nuts because I'd never had a problem with it before. So, okay, so everyone's apparently muted, and you can unmute yourselves. Okay, great. So I guess the other part we had talked about, Mike and I had talked about, is, you know, beyond the DEO and what their responsibilities are, and the other part I don't want to be doing to anyone is shoveling more, you know, more responsibilities on people's backs. And so there's a difference between someone who has to do something versus someone who wants to do something. And I think the key to this whole program is, if you want to become a Mason, that comes to the heart of it, you know, what is it that we want to do as Masons? Do we want to improve ourselves? And if that's the element, that's what we have to touch upon in terms of your own MLB meetings. You also have to be careful that your own policies don't have a powerful effect. Well, they do have a powerful effect on the atmosphere of every lodge, but they don't have such an effect that it can either limit or hinder what you're doing. And if you find yourself walking through, you know, the workbook, and you're going step by step by step, and then you've checked it off, my supposition would be you're doing it wrong. So each of these points can take a considerable period of time. Some you can jump right past because it depends upon what, you know, who's talking about it and what the issue is. But some of the, you know, the moral lessons and terms, they have to be talked out. This is a soul-searching type of thing versus, you know, we're not necessarily teaching just straight-up skills. So I'm wondering if Mike is back on. I don't have a screen, so.
I'm back in, Eric. Does that sound better?
Yeah, it does. Okay.
Do I sound better, guys, now?
It sounds better.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it could be the microphone on my headset. Okay?
Okay.
Sorry for all of that. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was going to pass it back off to you. I'm going to try one more thing myself, so.
Oh, okay, so I'm back on now. Okay.
Okay, yep.
What did you leave off with, Eric?
I'm basically talking about, you know, creating the type of atmosphere where, you know, if you find yourself just doing a check mark and covering each lesson versus, you know, the soul searching that's needed to improve yourself. So, you know, one caution I would have in terms of this, you're not trying to, you know, fill all these blanks. You know, the district deputy's not going to come in here, or the inspecting official's not. You shouldn't approach it that way. And there is a tendency to do that because that's kind of how we run things in Masonry. And I would caution that we don't do it that way, because as soon as you find out, you know, one member or one brother's, maybe they're struggling, maybe they're having a tough time of it, and we bypass that by virtue of we're making a checklist. We're really not doing the Masonry better at all. We're just kind of filling in another block. So the idea is, you know, you don't have to do it. You should want to do it. There should be, you know, and completing that desire is absolutely critical to this particular program.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. There's a couple of other important things I'd like to bring out. Just quick things. and then we'll open it up for your comments and questions, is communication. And maybe Eric, while I was off, I'm going to put on the mute here. Is communication, regular communication, establish that with your master builder group. I know I've fallen down in that area. I've fallen down in that area a couple of times myself and have resigned myself that I need to get better at that. So if you don't, I will say this, if you don't have all of your email addresses for those who attended the Masons Lead Better workshop, please contact me. Just send me an email, mike@masonsleadbetter.com, and I have those email addresses of everyone who registered. I'd be glad to share them with you. So get that communication established. The second thing is, as you have meetings and keep Eric and me in the loop, let us know what's going on. We can't help you if we don't know about some of the difficulties you're running into. So, again, an email to either of us about the Master Builder Group would be helpful. Also, when you schedule a meeting, copy us on that email so we know what's going on as well. The third thing I'd like to say is, the long-term intent of these Master Builder Groups, and they are in their infancy, it's going to take some time to get these rolling. The most efficient way, at least my opinion, is that they are down, they are pushed down to the lodge level. So I always envision that these get to the lodge level, so there is a master builder group operating in each lodge or as many lodges as possible. And that'll overcome a big problem with district-wide trying to set a meeting and the logistics of the meeting and find a proper time for all of that. So those three things I asked you as you continue your Master Builder Group or start a Master Builder Group, that you keep in mind. With that, I'm going to, and if you have a comment, want to ask a question of myself or Eric, please hit *6 on your phone. You'll pop into the queue so we can recognize you. And I hope I'm still coming through okay. Don't want David mad at me. Anybody got a question, a comment? Okay. David.
Yes, sir.
Am I sounding better now? Is that better?
Fine. You sound fine. And I was never mad at you.
No, I was kidding. No, I wasn't. I was concerned that because I've never had that complaint before, and I'm trying to figure out what went wrong. So,
well, you know, it was interesting that you automatically assumed the other guy was screwed up, and then when he went to try to change it three times, it still continued. It just never dawned on you that it was a problem. So I was
You know, isn't that the way we all are as humans? We always
think that's
everybody
very true.
Else is the problem.
Yeah, you know, I actually had that. You know, I've had that experience myself. I mean, keep wondering why things just aren't working and. You know, keep pushing on somebody, and you realize it's the pusher that's the problem. So,
yeah. Anyway, your thoughts, your questions, David?
Well, we were up in Philly this weekend. We kind of missed you, Mike. We saw you, of course, last year in Cincy.
Sure.
And this year we had our Restoration Foundation symposium up there with almost 200 members. It was very, very nice, from 25 different jurisdictions. It was a very pleasant weekend, and saw a beautiful facility. And they talked about this master builder thing a little bit.
Oh, good.
We talked about some of that, you know, we're moving into phase two now, or year two, where now we're going to try to take the seminars that you did on the weekends or the Saturdays, and I'll try to work them into a ongoing working group with folks that would meet regularly. And I'm just hoping that we'll not have to keep focusing on Saturdays. I mean, these Saturdays are really doing us some damage with respect to the rest of the guys in our lodge. We just can't get those. We just can't work with Saturdays. We've got to use some other kind of night.
Are you speaking of the master builder groups or the workshops altogether?
Both primarily.
Both.
Where they interface with each other, and where they're going to, where the workshops are going to take in more folks. And the master builders are going to deepen the experience. We just have to get away from doing it on Saturdays. I mean,
and certainly, first of all, let me deal with the workshop. The workshops, there are going to be two different workshops this coming year. The first one will be similar to what was done this Masonic, the previous 25 I did. The material will be modified a little, but we're only going to do, we are not going to make those district-based, but as I talked to our Deputy Grand Master about, we'll geographically and strategically pick a location, so there's only going to be 12 at a minimum, and they don't have to be on a weekend. I did one last year, was on two nights, okay? So
right.
That certainly can be accomplished, David. The other thing, the Master Builder Group does not have to be on the weekend. I know sometimes people gravitate to that, but I made the suggestion to one of our brothers I was talking to, I go, hey, why don't you get your Master Builder Group guys contacted and say, let's go visit one of their lodges and get there an hour early, or make your Master Builder Group around that visitation to that member's lodge. And you do two things. You get your Master Builder Group going, plus you support the lodge. Just a thought. But they don't have to be on the weekends, David.
Well, I mean, anyway, we need to keep integrating this into, you know, our normal activities that we engage in all the time, so that
sure,
you know, it becomes a natural just a development kind of thing for all of us. But yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good for us. I also hope we continue. We really need to start focusing on implementation and on how to actually accomplish these things, these great things that we put on the board as things we want.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the, we're all great at brainstorming. We got guys who have great ideas, but they don't know how to get anything done. And we really have to focus on that. And it really comes down to really making things work quickly and more efficiently. And, you know, it's just a situation we have sometimes with what's going dark. And, you know, a lot of things come up while we're dark, and we don't have stated meetings and we don't have special meetings. So, you know, the way our code is written, we can't make any decisions. And it's really tough. And we got to try to get around that and start making guys to work together so that we feel comfortable and do enough stuff. So, you know, we can back ourselves up when it comes back to time to come back to lodge or come back to our normal operation, that we can keep everybody informed of what we're doing in terms of implementation, and nobody feels like they're left out. you know, the media, these Facebook and all the stuff we're doing, that's a great way of getting the word out. And it does work. There's no question about it. It's just the way we're having a little difficulty getting the guys within, you know, our little lodges actually working, or, and I say little, but I mean, our lodges have to be kind of the central thing. I mean, they need to be the ones that are getting work done. You just can't have two or three guys that are doing everything.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
And that's a challenge. And we, it's just like, I'm going to really try to push this, is how do we motivate more folks to work to get into this? And, you know, we have this, this brings a thought to mind. You know, we've always said that we don't want your family or your business to, we don't want that to, you want you to worry about whether masonry interferes with that. In other words, if we have a meeting set up or we have some activity set up and you have something the family-wise that comes up, or you have something that business-wise that comes up, that you should feel completely comfortable just blowing off the Masonic stuff and then just going doing your business stuff. And I think sometimes that gets put into the wrong kind of context, or maybe that's not the right word, but... We can't keep operating like that. I mean, if things come up and you've made a commitment on the Masonic side to do something with the lodge or with a group of Masons, or you have a particular task Masonically you're challenged to do, whether it's a lecture to learn or something, and you have to go out of town or you have to do something, or something comes up, or your family or someone flies in, or New Year, or a relative dies or something like that happens, and you feel you have to go do that, I don't think you can just brush it off. I think what your objective, what your obligation needs to be, is to find a replacement or to have yourself in a position where you prepare for that.
Right.
So that if you know you're going to be out of town and you know you travel a lot and it's going to continue to happen, then you have to have a backup so that you always have, so that you're not calling the master 2 days, 3 days before the lecture is due and say, I can't get it done.
Right.
So you have lined somebody up to get it. And that taking responsibility and doing that kind of stuff, we really need to work on. And we don't. And we don't work on it. And we need to.
Well, I agree, David. And you said a whole bunch of stuff that I agree with. I mean, the one that caught my ear, because it's a big pet peeve of mine, is about implementation. We can all talk about these grandiose ideas and things we want to do, but implementation is not, in some cases, not our strong suit. And that's... let's draw this back into the master builder groups. What we're trying to accomplish here, I'm not gonna be untruthful and tell you this is not hard work. This is hard work. This is getting down to the basics and saying, look, guys, we're gonna improve ourselves so we can improve everything else, so we can be better leaders. And it's tough to look at yourself and say I'm deficient here and I'm going to improve myself. It's also tough. A piece of this is the study of what masonry is. And very honestly, I didn't mention it at the beginning, but one of the thoughts of the Mason Lead Better workshops was that we, as Masons, as lodges, as Grand Lodges, as officers in all of those respective areas, need to change the way we think about masonry. And some of the things, David, you heard this past weekend in Philadelphia, and some of the other things that Eric said, that masonry is not a social club. It in some aspects it is, but one of the main reasons I believe that masonry exists, and it took me a long time to figure it out, is to improve ourselves so we can help lead others and be that person in our community that's looked up to. And that's hard work, okay? And these to draw it back to the Master Builder Group, this is not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight, but we have to take and work together. And Eric talked about creating capacity, that education should be the focus. I mentioned this is not for everybody. Not everybody's going to jump on this bandwagon. And David, the point you made about the Masons are busy and they should recognize they have family obligations. Michael Kirkapp's on the call tonight, the author Working Tools of Leadership, talks about the 24-inch gauge and how you divide your time. We have to come to grips with those kinds of things. So okay. I appreciate all those comments.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll let it go to someone else. Thanks.
Well, thanks, David. Appreciate it. Anybody else got some questions about the Master Builder Group, how we move on from where you are, anything? *6 on your phone will get you in there. Eric, any other thoughts as you listen to David?
No, I appreciate certainly everything he said, because it's there is a focus in the idea of responsibility. That's a huge huge aspect of what we do. Events happen, and sometimes you can't make it, but you do need, as a good leader, you need to make provision. I remember in the military days, the idea was to always promote yourself out of a job because you've trained someone to take your spot, which is, in the civilian world, if not at least in the two professions I've worked since then, that's not a huge focus. But it really should be a focus for us that, the lecture is a good one. You know, if you're studying for a lecture and suddenly something comes up and you don't have a backup plan, I mean, I know we're really good about saying it's the master's fault, or it's, the master's in the chair,
right,
and it's all on one shoulders, but not really. The brother that promises should have a plan. I love that sentiment, because that whole thing should drive, that maybe that brother should be learning, when they're learning a lecture, they learn it with someone else. And that way, they're basically an understudy. And then, there's an understanding that, hey, something should happen. And that's a great way of approaching it. Because
right,
then it's a shared responsibility, and it's a shared desire that you can bring into your lodge with you. So great comments, Dave.
Yeah, Dave, we appreciate what you've brought to us tonight. Anyone else? We're getting close to 8 o'clock, and we always schedule this to be an hour. I've got a couple of things. Just hit *6 if you have a comment. But I mentioned Eric and I have met a couple of times. The last time we met, Eric suggested that we might consider adding a forum option to the Masons Lead Better website, and I'm investigating what particular one might work for us, and that'll be a place that we can share our thoughts, comment for topics we can communicate. So that'll be something that you can look forward to. It's been suggested to me, and I'm busy writing those now, is that I put on the website a summary lesson of, in other words, take this 6-hour workshop and condense it down into some lessons that a brother can go on, take his workbook, and get additional support. So I'm working on that now, so that'll end up on the website. And I promised the Grand Master, and I think it's a good idea, that we would add a facilitator page to the Masons Lead Better website for those who are leading Master Builder groups trying to get them started. So we support you with that with that as well. So those are things to look forward to. We're at 8 o'clock. Last call, Eric. Before I got a couple of announcements here, I certainly appreciate your time this evening, your comments, your insight. I appreciate you being here. Thanks, man.
Oh, thanks, sir. Appreciate it. You take care, guys.
Okay. Couple of other things before we close this evening the Master Builder Call, starting next month, will move to the fourth Wednesday of each month. My lodge changed its stated meeting because we changed where we are going to be meeting, and we will be on the third Wednesday. So I certainly want to make my lodge's stated meeting on the third Wednesday. So we're just going to Master Builder Call 1 week later to the fourth Wednesday of every month. So the next call will be September 23rd, same time, same phone number. I will alert you now that you need to watch for the sign-up in September for the new versions of Mason's Lead Better Workshops. There will be two. As I mentioned when we were talking with Brother Dave, that there will be one that will pretty much be the same material that was presented in the 25 districts this last year. The second one is all new material, and what it does is leap off from two areas in the first workshop, and it's going to center around and will be a practical workshop about how to take these goals and visions that generally the Masons in Ohio through these workshops have said we'd like to see Masonry go here. How do you do that? How do you bring those topics up? How do you have a discussion about change in your lodge and some of the things our brothers are bringing back from other Masonic meetings, some wonderful ideas? How do you get that implemented? So that second workshop will be a practical workshop on basically leading change. What is it? How do you start a dialogue in your lodge? What is the topics? How do you do that and overcome resistance? We're going to dive into a practical workshop and continue making ourselves better leaders. So that material I'm working on right now, and we'll be able better in September to give you more details about that. With that, I appreciate the time and the effort that all of you have shown by being on the call tonight. Certainly, again, if you have questions about your Master Builder Group, you can email me. And if they're for Eric, email Eric. We're here to support you and help you with those Master Builder Groups. I apologize for the technical difficulties, and I'm certainly going to investigate what caused all that, and hope the recording came out all right. So with that, I've unmuted everyone, so just brothers, say good night to everyone else, and we'll see you next call.
Good night, brothers.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, brothers.
Good night, brothers.
All right. Good night.
Good night.